You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here's your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
This is Ashley Winch in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Norman, Oklahoma. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for Wednesday, January 14th, episode 3862, brought to you today by Chewy Equine. Good morning, horse people. Well, I would like to thank Ashley for coming to hang out with me. Glenn is at PodFest, but we are going to talk to his better half, Jen. And we're going to meet our French auditor, Lucy. Weird news, of course, and we may have to head down south. And then Amy Walworth is going to come hang out in the post show. Now, we are going to meet Lucy, but she is French, and I can't pronounce her last name, but you just did, and you did it really good. So pronounce it.
Etoile.
Oh, my God. Do you speak French?
Oui. Mon petit peu.
Oh, what did you just say?
I just said yes a little bit.
Oh, yeah. That's pretty good. I got nothing. Oh, my gosh. Well, thanks for joining me and coming to hang out with me. Where is the little one? How's he doing?
Oh, my gosh. I am so glad to be with you. First of all, I feel like it's been forever. He's doing okay. We had quite a whirlwind Christmas break. We went snow skiing. We went to Epcot. And then we got home on this past Thursday, and he broke out in a full body rash, and I've been fighting a fever ever since. So,
number one, that sucks. Number two, where can you go snow skiing and to Epcot in the same?
So that's an important distinction. We drove up to Santa Fe, which is only like 45 minutes from Albuquerque, the day after Christmas. Then we flew to Tampa to see our best friends on New Year's Eve, and we stayed there for about a week.
Okay, I was like, that math is not mathing.
I mean,
we went skiing, and then we saw Mickey. Perfect. That's awesome. Well, that sounds fun.
It was great. And thankfully, Levi woke up today with no fever. And so hopefully our little cowboy is going to be back to his rootin' tootin' self any day or any minute now, really.
There is nothing worse than your kid being sick
when they're baby.
You're just like, I don't know what to do. I can't do anything because you can't give them like medicine. There's so many things you can't do that you would do for yourself. But it's just, it's just hard. It sucks.
It is. Glenn called me yesterday morning and he heard like Levi was just wanting to cuddle and snuggle. And he was just so pathetic, like whining. And Glenn's like, that's not our happy boy. I'm like, I know.
He's like, thanks for the reminder.
I'm aware.
It gets better soon and your house gets back to some semblance of normal.
Yeah.
Before we get to our guests, let's see here. It's time for Daily Winnies.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday to Leela Hewitt and our favorite training host, Mary Kitzmiller. And I do want to also give a special daily Winnie to our other favorite co-host, Lisa Wysocki. I was able to visit her in Nashville over the weekend. Jamie, I've been really busy. I'm just realizing I've been all over the place.
Whoa. Add that to the list.
It's been a wild first few weeks of the year, but I found myself in Nashville tending to my cousin's broken heart. And I said to my cousin, who is not a horse girl, I said, do you know what the best thing is for heartbreak? And she says, I don't know, wine and ice cream. I said, wrong, horse hair.
Absolutely.
So I said, I know just the gal. And we made it over to Colby's Army. It's only like 30 minutes outside of downtown Nashville. So beautiful, so peaceful. And I got to wrap my arms around Lisa and give her a real hug. And it was just fantastic to get some horse time with friends. So thank you, Lisa.
She is delightful. But I will tell you that when your son gets his first broken heart, this is what I did. And because this is what I did. So obviously horses are part of my life, but not that he doesn't really care so much. So the first time he got broken up with, I mean, remember he's 12, but he was like 10. And the girl that he was, you know, his girlfriend, that little heifer wrote a note breaking up with him and gave it to another girl to like then give to him. So then everybody knew that he was getting broken up with by this stupid girl writing some stupid note. And so he gets in the car and he's crying, you know, maybe he was nine. I don't know. And he gets in the car and he's like, she broke up with me. And I'm like, well, there's only one thing to do. And he's like, what? And I said, we're going to go dye your hair and buy new shoes.
Yes. Like, yeah. 100%. Obviously.
So I took him to Walmart and I bought him a pair of shoes and I let him pick out whatever color hair dye he wanted. And so he picked out electric blue.
Broken heart blue.
Broken heart blue, baby. And I dyed his hair blue and it was absolutely hilarious and it made him feel so much better. So yeah. So when that happens, shoes and hair dye. Yeah. Let's go.
And put the scissors down. Don't cut your bangs. That is what my cousin's that's what my cousin's mother did in reaction to this shock. And we all are kind of nervous about the state of her mental health.
Oh no.
Let's hear your Winnies, Jamie.
Man, I found this new TV show that I'm super excited to share with y'all. But maybe everybody else knows it because it's on like the third or fourth season or something like that. But have you seen the TV show Animal Control?
I'll be honest with you, Jamie. My TV has a lot of Sesame Street and Bluey on it these days.
That's true. That is your world right now. We did Yo Gabba Gabba, so and Paw Patrol. So yeah, I get it. But is this? It's like kind of like The Office, but it's Joel McHale who is absolutely so hilarious. Funny. And they're animal control officers, and they like do animal control. Like it's hilarious. Anyway, it's really funny. So I usually if one of us between Glenn and I discover a new show, we like to share it. And again, like it's not new. I'm just so far behind.
New to you.
It's new to me. Exactly. So there it is. Also, did you see the new horse that I got in training?
If you're referencing the bay giraffe, then yes, I did.
Oh my God. He's the biggest. I mean, I thought that I had another horse who was huge, but this guy is off the charts huge. And his name is Okey Joker. And idiots decided to put him in training. And he boat attendant. Mm. So, I'm sorry, he's too big.
Yeah.
You got to let these guys grow. Zenyatta didn't hit the track until she was well into her third year because, like, they're too big. And so I think he was started at two and then boat attendant. And he's only three. Oh, well, I guess he'll be calendar four in April. So he's still 3 years old and he sticks at 17.3. So,
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's crazy. I have a three-step mounting block and I got on them the other day and I climbed up to the third step and still had to like jump hike my jeans up, you know, like put the toe all the way there. I almost had to drop the stirrup down a little bit because it was so huge. But the cool thing is a lot of times the big horses that come to me for training, the really big thoroughbreds are super scared of people and beat up. Because I think what happens is they're so big that they intimidate the handlers or some of the people and people get rough with them. And this horse, Okey Joker, is like a put his head in your chest and just appreciate you petting him. He has not been roughed up or beat up or anything like that. He's super, super sweet. And it's definitely heartbreaking that he boat attendant because he is bred incredibly well. But if anybody's looking for a gentle, gentle, sweet, loving giant, you can submit an application at Horse and Hound because he's just lovely. Lovely.
You know, you won't need to get like a endangered species permit for that giraffe. So
we were mucking stalls. Chad helped me muck stalls yesterday and we have him. He's in a paddock with a stall attached.
Sure.
And son of a gun, he has the whole paddock and comes in to poop. You know, like, could you not do that? Why do you have to, like, you're all the way in the paddock and you're like, let me walk all the way up the hill and get into the barn because I have to poop. Why would you do that? Anyway, we cleaned stalls yesterday and Chad's like picking up. He's like, oh my God, this is like elephant. Yeah, it is. It's fine. So anyway, Okey Joker, he can be yours and poop in your stalls.
You trust Chewy with the dogs and cats in your house. See how Chewy can help you care for all of the horses in your barn. Chewy brings you trusted brands like Purina, Farnam, Cosequin, Weatherbeta, and hundreds more delivered straight to you. From feed and supplements to seasonal care and prescriptions, Chewy makes life with horses easier with fast shipping and everything you need at your fingertips. Buy it once or put it on auto ship to keep essentials arriving right on time. Shop now at chewy.com/equine.
Our first guest today is one of our amazing auditors, Lucy, say it.
Etoile.
From?
France.
Oh, okay. I didn't know where we could go in a safe France. Sorry.
France.
Thank you. That's what I was waiting for. Glenn and I recorded it last week, and we just thought the chat went so well, we decided to share it here. So meet Lucy.
And we have an international auditor on with us. Her name is Lucy, and we see her posting all the time. Lucy, thanks for joining us. Where are you at right now?
Oh, thank you for having me. It's such a pleasure to participate in the show after being an avid listener for such a long time. So thank you. So I'm actually living in France. I'm English by birth, but I've lived in France for the last 20 years, and I live between Bordeaux and Cognac, for anybody who knows that part of France. Oh, so it's southwest France.
I don't beautiful. Know the part of France, but I know those two alcohols. So congratulations. That sounds fun.
Is it readily available? Is Bordeaux readily available and cheaper where you live?
Or? Absolutely, yeah. It's cheapish. I mean, I wouldn't say it's cheap, but it depends what you drink. I don't like the vinegar type, but yeah, it's not too bad. Yeah, it's average price, yeah.
Why did you move to France? What, did you marry into the French thing?
Well, it's funny. I came over when I was 18 with my then boyfriend to have a nice life in the countryside. I've always wanted horses and couldn't afford them in the UK because land is very expensive. And obviously the French dream, you know, you can buy a farmhouse and lots of land far cheaper than in the UK. So we came over and got a few horses. We got some pigs. It's all in the past now. We've still got the horses, but the pigs have gone, sadly. But yeah, to live the French dream and have land and enjoy country living.
And are you?
Did you stay with that guy? Yeah. I mean...
Yeah, we got married, had a little boy. It's been wonderful. It's been a really lovely experience having horses after never having horses in the UK. And then obviously being completely outhorsed, but I think everyone is at some point, buying far too many horses and not really knowing much about horse care and training. So I was learning on the job. So, it's been really good fun. Yeah, it's been a real adventure. I'd highly recommend it.
Glenn, she sent an email. And I thought maybe I should highlight this for you because you might want to participate in this discussion. She says, I have 4 retired French trotter horses at home. And then I have 2 secret ones that live with my friend that my husband doesn't know about. What?
Yeah, that's true.
Please, I got to hear this.
So does nobody else do this, or is it just me? I thought we all had a secret horse or two.
I just buy them all the same color. So la, yeah, la, la.
I'm not listening. I'm not listening. I'm not hearing this.
Exactly. They're much smaller than the other ones. It's a Shetland pony that I've sort of rescued from being passed from pillar to post. So I purchased her, and then she got pregnant. Which was intentional, and she now has a little foal at foot that we affectionately call Power Ranger because he's quite naughty and is often escaping and causing mayhem. But I think that's what Shetlands do.
Yeah,
so, yeah,
it's a funny thing. It's funny. Yeah, so you have French trotters. Tell us about those.
Yeah, so basically we have the French trotters, which is a French breed native to France, the trotteur français, as they call it over here. And they're obviously quite an abundance because not many of them make the grade for the racing and for the training. So, you know, you can pick up a French trotter fairly cheaply for around 800 euros, which is about $900, I guess. And they're really lovely lovely creatures, lovely horses, very friendly, very placid. They make great hacking horses. The chasse à courre, which is hunting, you know, some people do hunting on them. So I ended up with 4. I bought one, and then I found her sister and bought her sister. And then I bought her brother and his brother. So it's all a family affair.
Are you a driver? Do you drive them, ride them? What do you do?
No, they were, well, when I used to ride them, they were younger, they were all ridden. Yeah, we just did happy hacking, really. It was just, you know, riding through the forest, you know, randonnées, things like that, a bit of dressage. So, so yeah, but no driving, sadly. But I know they were trained to be driven in a sulky, which is like, you know, very lightweight trailer. Well, yeah.
I drove a sulky in a sulky once, scared the crap out of me. There's just nothing between you and those back legs. There's just nothing.
It's I don't think I want to do that. Yeah, but the French love that. They're very big into their racing, trotting racing. So, but yeah, not for me. But the horses are lovely, which is great. So, very, very good temperaments. They make great, great horses. Yeah.
So, what kind of riding do they do in your area? What's the most popular?
Yeah, so it's funny, isn't it? We're in sort of the basically in France, in this area, they do a lot of show jumping. They're very much into their show jumping. The younger generation like to do their competitions on a Sunday, lots of show jumping. But then you do have sort of a different kind of age demographic, because you get a little bit older, sort of after you, you know, early 20s, people turn a lot to dressage, which is quite nice. It's all club level. It's all low level, but still quite a lot of competition. Mm-hmm.
Oh, and I also saw that you're on the committee for the French Equestrian Tourism Board for your region.
Yeah, correct. So my friend and I, well, my friend is the president. So obviously I joined in the fun with my friend and some other people. So we are the responsibles for the tourism équestre in the Charente region, which is where we are. So we organize sort of endurance competitions. We do big randonnée days, which is like a full day of outdoor riding, hacking. We provide lunch and alcohol and the lunch break. And yeah, it's just, it's all.
Jamie, I see a trip in our future.
Giddy up.
lots of fun, lots of good food, cheese, wine, bread, everything that's bad for you. So yeah, it's good with horses.
I'll do that
well,
part while I watch you and Jamie ride. I'll do that part while you two ride, and I'll be glad to cheer you on.
Thank you. You're welcome. I have many horses for you. That's fine. We have enough to ride.
You also said in here something that's happening a lot with people around me, Jennifer and Jamie. You're currently taking Western riding lessons.
Yeah. So, again, it's been something, it's been a childhood dream of mine for a very long time, you know, in seeing Westerns on the TV and these big, beautiful saddles and things like that, because they're not very common in France. But it's starting to gain popularity in this region alone. We have a couple of equestrian centres that focalise on Western riding. So have been taking a few lessons. It's quite different to normal classical riding, and you feel like a complete beginner, and you do not know how to hold the reins, you do not know how to give cues. You feel like a real beginner. It's horrible. It's such a horrible feeling.
Are you getting used to it? Jamie, have you ridden a lot in your Western saddle yet?
I have. I rode in it yesterday. I've been taking trail rides in it. It's super fun.
You like it? Is it comfy?
I do. I love it. It's very comfy. I even bought a little Western headstall. Miles has been riding around in it. It's awesome.
Do you find you relax more in the Western saddle than you did the English? Both of you. That's a question for both of you, actually.
I know, because I think I'm just more comfortable in an English saddle. So I just got to kind of get used to it, because it changes the way you sit, right?
Yep.
Yeah, you sit really on your back pockets, and you feel like you're slouching a little bit when you want to be sat upright, I guess. I don't know if you have the same feeling, Jamie.
I do, yeah.
And the horn is annoying. You're trying to get off, and your horn gets caught.
Jennifer says that too. Jennifer said if she could cut the horn off of the chainsaw, she would.
Yeah, it would work better, because that's the only thing that's just him. And I agree with Jennifer's comment about being hung up on the horn. That does worry me a little bit. But so far, so good. I've managed to hold on. So it's been okay.
That's funny. You know, all the Western riders right now are laughing, right? They're all
laughing. They're laughing at our misery. But it's good fun. They're comfortable saddles, aren't they? You do have more in front, and the big stirrups and the big fenders make you feel like quite secure, but they're so heavy. Yeah, you do have to learn the technique on how to throw them up onto the back.
I will say that with the one Jamie and Jennifer had that same saddle, and I put it up for her the other day, and it wasn't bad at all. It really is a lot lighter than most of the big Western saddles. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd love to get one. They're just hard to get. They're so expensive over here, because obviously you have a lot of importation now with all the tariffs. So we do tend to have sort of the older, heavier ones, but One day I'll save up. I'll get to pick one up and get one when I come and come to America. Yeah. <Be good.
laughs> Well, and I know you, Lucy, we're running out of time, but I know that you have listened to us for, I think, since we started this show, haven't you?
Yeah, really long time. Yeah. And I was saying, I feel really guilty because I haven't been an auditor for very long. So that's, you know, a plug to everybody who listens to the show. Please join, become an auditor, because you guys are amazing. You know, you've been with me, and I'm sure with every other listener, through thick and thin, good times, bad times. And it's just a nice, steady rhythm to have a podcast to listen to when we're outside in the cold, in the mud, doing the horses. So yeah, thank you so much for everything. And every show that you do, I enjoy the dressage show, the endurance, Monty Roberts, you know, all of the shows across the network are really fantastic. So thank you sincerely for all of that.
Well, that's very kind, Lucy. We really appreciate you listening over there in France too. And and we hope to be doing it for a few more years. So
I really hope so. Yep. Thank you once again.
All right. When are we going to France to drink wine again? Jamie, when is that scheduled?
I told you, give me a minute to not travel, but I'll do that one. I'm in.
Good job. Good job. Well, there's always a place for you guys here. You're always welcome.
Thank you, Lucy.
Thanks again.
Cut there. Yay. That was great. That was terrific.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, that's great. It's really nice to speak to you guys as well. It's a real honor.
Well, I know you've been listening from the Stable Scoop days, so we really do appreciate it. And
yeah, thank you so much.
We can't believe we've been doing it this long. So there's that.
No, so. I can't believe it's been that long since we've had smartphones and, well, our pod, you know, the old iPod things that we used to have. So, yeah.
All right. Thanks, Lucy.
Thanks a lot. Take care. Have a good day.
Bye.
Cheers.
Bye.
And joining us now on our Wednesday health segment is someone you guys maybe have heard of once or twice around HRN. It's Jennifer Hebert.
Whee, Coach Jen.
Hi, Jen.
Hello.
It's the girls' show. I love it. Jen, I saw on Facebook that you guys had, a celebrity come out and visit Scooter.
Yes, we had Dr. Latcher from Spring Hill Equine. She's been on the show many, 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 many times. She came out to visit Scooter. We're still dealing with his allergic skin issues. So we're on vet number 3 now. And we had a little chat. And Scooter got a cookie from the vet tech. Because vets, I don't know if they do it that where you are, but the veterinarian always has a tech in tow. To, you know, hold horses and things like that. Did they do that where you are, Jamie?
Most of the time, yes. Every once in a while, no. But for the last, it was a married couple that was my last vet. And either the husband got the tech or the wife got the tech. So it just depended on where they were going.
They had to share the tech.
Or who
You're
won the argument.
Today. Yeah.
That's something that's so different. I still have a hard, I still struggle with it. That the owner is not allowed to handle the horse when the veterinarian is working on it. The tech has to hold the horse.
Oh, is it like
it's just so weird.
Liability thing?
I think it is. Yeah. Huh. I know I asked the one vet one time and they said that's because there were problems with owners getting injured while handling their own horse while the veterinarian was working on it.
Well, there's a whole thing too. Like when you're because I'm a vet tech, when you're a certified vet tech, you go through a training process on how to handle the horse. Like when the veterinarian is doing anything on the hind end of the horse, the handler stands on the same side. So if something happens and the horse goes to kick, the handler, the tech, can pull the horse's head towards them and that pushes the butt away. So like there's all sorts of different ways that you're trained to hold them and restrain them and help the vet.
You know,
and
I think that whole program should be available to people who have horses that aren't techs. You
know, I know, right?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Well, there you go. Well, that's and the techs down here at least have taken up having a cookie or two in their pocket, and they always ask if they can give the horse a cookie. And it's gotten to the point now, back in the day, the veterinarian truck would show up and the horses would scatter because they all smelled like 91% rubbing alcohol. Now the horses all come in the barn and go, oh, where's the cookies?
Yeah.
Smart move.
It works. Now, Nigel does not. Nigel leaves. He sees the truck come in. It doesn't matter whose truck it is. He leaves.
He knows better.
I'm out of here. I'm retired. Go away. But anyhow.
So did we get anywhere on a diagnosis, a treatment? What's the latest scoop on poor Scooter?
The latest is the weather has been cold, so he's feeling slightly better. But the treatment protocol right now, we have taken him off the regular Zyrtec, which is a human antihistamine, because it wasn't helping that much. And we're putting him on something called Apoquel, which is labeled for dogs. It's an antihistamine. And they prescribe it for dogs who specifically have allergies that cause itchy, weepy, oozy, gooey skin, what we used to call hot spots.
Mm.
And they have found that it can work very well for horses with insect bite hypersensitivity, which is what Scooter has. So the prescription should arrive today. I'm going to sell a kidney on eBay to pay for it.
A good thing you have two.
Yeah, I have a spare. Next month, Glenn, it's your turn. but this past summer, his quality of life was just such that we got to do something.
Mm-hmm.
Push came to shove. He was just too miserable. But we've also got antibiotics on the back burner because she said he very likely, when he has a, because it flares up, very likely can get a cutaneous staph infection, staph in their skin.
Good night.
That's not going to go away. You need antibiotics for that. So I have that on hand. And when he has a flare up, I send her a picture and she says yes or no. And then, of course, we still have the daily topical application to all irritated skin, which is approximately 89% of his body.
approximately
89%. And so I have to put that on twice a day, every day, where he's got itchy spots. And the concoction that he wears has cortisone to stop the itch topically. But it also has antifungal, antibacterial in it so that we can attack all, because the cortisone, if they've got an overgrowth of any fungus, including yeast, which, as we all know, is very itchy. If they've got that on their skin and it's a little bit out of control and it's super itchy, the cortisone can actually make the fungus grow faster, which is why you need the antifungal in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then the antimicrobial for everybody, including bacteria and virus and all that kind of stuff. So he has his big pot of goo that we put on him every day. And and he loves to get it put on. And he's figured out that it stops itching. It's really interesting. If he's really, really itchy, he will stand at his door and paw at his door until I put it on.
Poor baby.
Yeah. And then he also, he just put it on now. It's itchy. Come on.
I mean, you know, it's a good thing they're at home now. Imagine having to go out to the barn twice a day to do all that.
For somebody who has a horse that's boarded with this problem, with the insect bite hypersensitivity, OMG. I can't fathom it.
You know, it's own full-time job. I mean,
it's its own full-time job, yeah. And most of the research on this problem is done with horses who have an allergic reaction to midge bites. Well, here we don't have midges. We have gnats. But the gnats don't bite.
That was my next question. Do we know what bug that is doing this to poor Scooter?
Yes, it's called an eye gnat. Specifically, it's an eye gnat, not a fungus gnat. Can you tell I've gone down a lot of research papers? PubMed is my friend. An eye gnat is ubiquitous in agricultural areas, and it likes sandy soil. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well.
And they exist in the topmost layer of dry sandy soil and on the damp grass. Can't get rid of that when you have horses. But when they land, they feed on the... There's a fancy name for it, but it's basically the goo and slime that are on their lips, eyes, sheath, udder, etc. Coronet, chestnuts, they land on that, and that's what they feed on. They don't ever bite. But when they land, they have these little sharp nodules on their legs that scrape the skin a little bit so that the ooze will come out.
Hmm.
That's what he's allergic to.
That is so wildly specific.
Yeah, and I have discovered that Dr. Latcher was freaked out by this. She's going, "Are you sure?" Because she was wrinkling her nose the whole time she was here. Every once in a while, Dr. Facebook does give you some handy information. And Dr. Facebook said, because gnats are very, very, very difficult to kill or repel, iNats. Mm. All the research says, good luck. But apparently, because they seek out food sources by smell, things that smell strong are a good way to get rid of bats. And for example, Ecovet, that fly spray that we all love to hate because it smells so horrible, is so effective on gnats. But talk to your grandpa. Old Spice Original Aftershave.
Stop it. Stop it. So Scooter's just walking around smelling like a grandpa?
He is. It lasts a good 6 hours. And that's potent stuff. I'd forgotten my dad used to use Old Spice, bless his heart. And
does that work for regular flies or just for these flies?
It's got to help with regular flies too. I only put it where the gnats like to hang out, mm-hmm. which is their underbelly and around their ears and eyes. I only use it there because we have other things in effect. I would think it would be worth a try for other flies.
Wow, that's incredible. So basically you put the Old Spice. So either your barn smells like Ecovet, which makes you want to barf, or your barn smells like a bunch of grandpas. I love it.
I mean, I'm going to put a warning out here, ladies. Like, don't do this without telling your husband first, because instead of coming home smelling like horse poop, they're going to be like,
who is he?
My barn smells like a convention of used cars. Yeah. And I tried a whole bunch of other stuff. Another product that is scientifically shown to discourage and repel iNats specifically is oil of lemon eucalyptus. You need all three words or it's not the same thing. At a 40% concentration, the problem with that is some horses, Scooter being one of them, when it gets on their skin, which is where it needs to be, it can cause a reaction, mm-hmm. a little bit of blistering on the top of their skin, which is kind of counterproductive for what we're doing. So I use it on me when I ride because they attack me too. So that's another product that has shown that, yes, it actually does work scientifically. So oil of lemon eucalyptus, 40%. There you go. And Ecovet. And the oil of lemon eucalyptus, suspiciously, smells a little bit like Ecovet.
I could believe that.
So that's where we are. We're currently entering into another cold snap here in Ocala, Florida. So Scooter is doing the happy dance because the gnats kind of, they literally go to ground. They just hang out on the sand and don't bother the horses at all when it's this chilly. So he's going to have a little bit of a break. So yay team. Me and Dr. Latcher are on a picture of what's going on with his skin basis. So there we go.
So there we go. Well, we are so glad to hear that Scooter is going to have some relief. And hopefully, you know, even though you and Glenn will slowly lose all your organs for this, he'll be happy.
He'll be happy. I will let you know how the Apoquel works. I'm excited that maybe we can finally get this thing under control because it was a bad summer.
Yeah.
It was a bad summer.
All right. Well, we can't wait to hear about the Apoquel next time. Have a great day, Jen.
Yeah.
Want to reach a passionate, engaged audience of horse lovers? The Horse Radio Network, with thousands of listeners worldwide, offers unique sponsorship opportunities to connect your brand with horse owners, riders, and enthusiasts. Over 90% of our listeners have bought a product from a HRN ad in the past year. Partner with HRN and take your brand to the next level. Visit www.horseradionetwork.com/advertise today.
Time to learn why some days you're embarrassed to be part of the human race in Jamie's Weird News.
Yes, it's the time of the week where we share all the weird news happening all over the world. And we are going to go international today, which is exciting. I love it when it's not all in Florida and Oklahoma. But I would like to thank these people for sending me these stories. Remember, if you're reading the news wherever you get it, and you see something, you're like, dude, that is so weird. Email it to me, weirdnews@horseradionetwork.com. And I will share the story with all of us, just like Delia, Debbie, Glenn, Laureen, Shelley, Katie, Janelle, and Caitlin all did this week. So thanks y'all very much for your submissions. First, we are going to start in Germany. That's right, baby. So, you know how I think one of the greatest things and yet worst things is those doors, you know, when you walk up to a convenience store door and they just open,
yes,
slide open because they sense you. Well, that did not work out very well for a supermarket in a small Bavarian town of Bergen in southern Germany, because it's a supermarket. And you can see the pictures. There's like, you know, phone cards and there's stuff on the wall and there's gum and candy. And they also have grocery items and fruits and vegetables. Well, the guy who runs the store actually talked to the newspaper after this event happened and thought he was on candid camera. He thought it was a prank, because what happened is all of a sudden in the middle of the day, the doors open and not one, but 50 sheep.
What?
Walk right into his store. They got loose. Like, they got loose from wherever they were being held and ran down the street all in a herd, found his supermarket, and then opened the doors and they just walked right in. He said they ran immediately over to where they keep all the fruits and vegetables and everything. And they made a huge mess. And he said you could not get them out. There was no way to get them out. So he said they tried to push him out. They tried to keep the doors open and get somebody out. But they had to keep the doors open. They had to have somebody standing there.
Oh, my gosh.
To keep the doors open. But so the sheep wouldn't run out. They're like, we're not leaving. So anyway, what they ended up doing was taking trash can lids and the cash register and banging on the side and scared the crap out of all the sheep. And they finally ran out the sliding door into the parking lot. And then apparently the flock's shepherd was then they found where they go. And he said that he told the person interviewing him that the sheep were distracted by acorns on the ground and what? Just got lost. They just followed the acorns out, and then all of a sudden they see this grocery store and apparently ran in. And here we go. Yeah,
they're the JB. Those are some bad sheep.
Oh my god, moving on. Next. Okay, so your husband's in the military. Are you aware of the issues that are caused by people shining those lasers up into airplanes?
Yes.
You know how like people have the lasers? It's like it's a felony.
It's a big deal.
It's a big deal. So when we were stationed in Phoenix, they would have people all the time. They would fly in for landing like at night and get blinded by lasers. People would shoot the lasers up at the plane. Don't do this, people, because it is a felony. And they would report where they were, mm-hmm, and they would call it in, and police would swarm that house and everybody would go to jail. So yeah, it's not a good thing. However, there was a light that was shining on Air Force planes and the airspace above Howell Township. I don't know where that is.
Howell. I'll look it up. You keep telling the story.
Oh, New Jersey.
Oh, okay. Jersey. Okay.
So in Jersey, these Air Force planes are coming down to land and somebody was lasering them. So pilots report the location of where the laser's coming from, and all the police, the park rangers, fire company, and police and military police all swarm. Yeah. Cause it's like that big a deal, right? McGuire Air Force Base. So they all swarm to this area to find out where they are. And it's in the woods. And so they're all like, I'll be tons of men. They start hiking out into the woods to find out who's lasering the planes.
Please, please tell me it's Bigfoot. Please tell me it's Bigfoot. Oh,
by the way, it's cold. Like, it's freezing. And they come across like a pond. So it's like off the road. There's a swamp and then a pond, which is frozen over. So the local park ranger and the fire department, they start to make their way across the ice.
Oh, no.
And they realize that it's coming from under the ice.
What?
So the fire company's dive team has to come out, dive cut through the ice and dive down. They found the laser. Do you know what this thing was? A green light up fishing lure.
Stop it right yes! now. Did the ice just like make it more powerful?
I don't know. I was thinking, what kind of fishing lure is going to like laser jets as they're flying in?
What are you fishing for with that?
Right? They're fishing for Bigfoot.
I guess so.
Yeah, absolutely crazy. So that was a very expensive fishing lure that somebody left.
Wow. They said
it ended up being nothing. Thank God is what the quote was from the Howell team at McGuire Air Force Base. Okay. Do you remember your proposal from your husband like super well? Like, yes. Do you remember everything?
Yes.
Oh, it's you just remember them getting on the knee and it's kind of a blur as to what they said, but you just know it's like, it doesn't matter if they think you're going to say yes, they know they've got to be so nervous.
Oh, right? That's the best part. That's the best part is seeing how nervous they are.
Yes. Well, it was not the best part for this young couple in Michigan.
Oh, no.
His name is Trevor Van Camp, and he had been long planning the moment that he would ask his longtime girlfriend, Danielle Jenkins, to marry him. He said for a couple months he had a plan in his head how he wanted to do it, and they're both from Rochester Hills, and she had been wanting to go up north to visit Sky Bridge, Michigan at Boyne Mountain.
I know where this is
all going to be important.
Okay.
So they went, he thought, oh my God, that's like the perfect place to get down on one knee. And so he had they were going out on the bridge. And so he sees this couple behind him and he goes up to them and hands them his phone and says, hey, can you video this? Because I'm going to ask her to marry me. I'm going to propose. And he whispers in the lazy, I'm going to propose. So they walk out on the bridge. Behind them, this person is filming. He says, he was so nervous. He said, I'm shaking. Oh, I'm scared of heights. I'm afraid she's going to say no. And a domino effect of things happen.
No.
He pulls out the ring and it falls out of his hand through the bridge and tumbles 118 feet down onto a snow-covered hill. Gone.
Oh my God.
Done. Oh my God. She said, I didn't even get to see the ring. He pulled it out and it fell. It like flipped out of his hand. Oh my God. Could you imagine how, like, I don't know, upset, mad, terrified?
Yeah, all the things. All the things.
All the things. So they called the staff of the people that work there, and they went out on metal detectors and they searched for 2 hours.
Oh,
and
bless
they couldn't
them.
Find it. I mean, it went down in the snow.
And with that velocity, I mean, that probably went 10, 12 feet deep, you know?
And it could go anywhere, too, because the wind could pick it up and blow on it. So they gave up. They called the search off. However, Pat Harper, the heroic snowmaking supervisor, was helping them look. He decided he was going to keep at it. And he found it. He said he swung over one of the footprints and it beeped. He said, I dug in the snow like I've done 30 or 40 times and it was just dirt there. So he just reached out and scooped up the dirt and there was the ring with dirt and snow in his hand. Can you believe it? It fell that far, went down all the way through the snow and into the dirt and that dude found it. Pat Harper.
I mean,
you're my hero.
Pat needs to be the officiant or best man or something, obviously.
Yes, obviously.
Obviously.
And so hopefully they tipped him. Like, all I could think of was like, I hope they tipped
well,
him.
Well, and I mean, did she end up saying yes? That's the other part I want to know about.
They are officially engaged.
Okay.
Now. He's proudly wearing the ring.
What a story.
Oh my gosh. And the final one, we have to go to where else?
Florida.
That's right, Florida.
I knew
it. We're going to go to Marion County because...
Oh, that's Ocala.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, this is real close to Glenn. Real close to Glenn. So, it's New Year's Day, January 1st. And the police were called. Let me just off the bat just tell you drugs are bad. Don't do drugs. They're very bad. So there's a man, and he is living in a house in Marion County,
And his name is Daniel Rodriguez. And Daniel said he was having a bad day. And what added to the bad day, besides the drugs, was his house is like ransacked with squirrels. There's squirrels in his attic and he can hear them racing across the roof, down the walls, racing across the roof again. So he decides to take matters into his own hand. Drugs are bad. So what does he decide to do? He sets his house on fire.
Well,
he's gonna get rid of them squirrels.
I'm gonna show them. I'll show them.
So he douses his house with gasoline and lights the fire. He actually walked away from the fire. I don't know if he expected to burn the whole place down, but he said he left his beer outside. So he had to walk away from the house to get his beer. And in that time, the house just went up. Now, the police were called because obviously there's this huge house fire. And I'm sure the squirrels all jumped out. They're fine.
You're an idiot.
Drugs are bad. So they ended up detaining him because he's like, yeah, I set my house on fire with gasoline. He says this as they're reading him the Miranda rights. Yeah, I started the fire with gas. I got a big squirrel problem. So obviously they arrest him, pat him down. And of course they found a bunch of meth. So don't do drugs. He was booked into jail where he remains in custody without bond. He's being charged with arson, possession of drugs, and drug paraphernalia. And he'll be in court Tuesday, February 3rd. I don't know why they felt like they should include the information of when he'd be in court, but now you can all put that on your calendar. February 3rd is when Daniel Rodriguez is going to jail.
I think they put that in the paper so that the squirrels know when to attend the hearing. So you that they guys, can show up in solidarity.
You have, yeah, and you can just run rampant in that half-burned house until then, at least. So good luck. Anyway, yeah. Yeah, don't do drugs.
Drugs are bad, okay?
Drugs are bad, okay? Well, everybody, thank you so much for joining us today. We are going to talk in a minute to our author, Amy Walrath, and in the post show. But again, everybody, Ashley, thank you so much. You'll be here again with me on Friday. Well, we'll do some really bad ads. And Coach Jen will continue to have a lovely time without her husband. It'll be fine. Everything's fine. Don't forget, everybody, spay, neuter, and geld.